When I come across people in difficult situations, the ones that are not doing well usually are not doing well because of a wrong mindset, because of thinking that is not in line with the Word of God. And they need to be encouraged and have their minds renewed that they would be seeing things rightly and walk rightly with the Lord. And that's the same thing with me, and that's the same thing with you, I believe, if you know the Lord.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church.
Greg, over the past few days, we've been considering the importance of thinking biblically. For those who may have missed our first couple of broadcasts on this subject, give us a brief summary of what we've learned so far.
Well, Dave, what we've learned in the past couple days is this. First of all, we are commanded to think biblically. And the only way we can do that is to have the mind of Christ. And the way that we get the mind of Christ is by being saturated in the Lord's Word. Now, today, the Apostle Paul begins to develop the idea of what we are to fill our minds with. It's a very practical and instructive passage. So if you have a Bible handy, turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Now, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't take long to realize that the Christian life is primarily played out, in a sense, in the mind. That's where it begins. That's where everything comes from. Our thinking, our mindset really does then reveal who we are and thus the things that we do. It reveals our interests, our desires. And so, as I shared last week, the Apostle Paul actually made it clear in Romans chapter 8 that those who set their mind according to the flesh are according to the flesh, and those according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What we think about is an evidence of where our relationship really is with the Lord. Now, for Christians, the Bible reveals, and we also know this from experience, that we're going to go through difficulties in this life. Difficulties, whether it's from sin and consequences from sin, whether it's God's discipline, whether it's trials, temptations, whatever it might be. We as believers are going to go through those things. And having shepherded for many years, when I come across people in difficult situations, the ones that are not doing well usually are not doing well because of a wrong mindset, because of thinking that is not in line with the Word of God. And they need to be encouraged and have their minds renewed that they would be seeing things rightly and walk rightly with the Lord. And that's the same thing with me, and that's the same thing with you, I believe, if you know the Lord, that it comes down to our thinking. I mentioned that old saying last week, sow a thought, reap an action, sow an action, reap a habit, sow a habit, reap a life. It's really clear, biblically speaking also, that what we think about really does affect the course of our lives and reveals who we really know spiritually. So with that in mind, we're going to see today, as we continue to look at the mindset of a heavenly citizen, we're going to answer the question, what are we thinking about? Would you turn your Bibles, if you're not already there, to Philippians chapter 4, and we're continuing our study of this wonderful book, and we are slowly coming to the end of this, and so be praying about where the Lord would have us study next after this book. Now, again, the context of the book of Philippians, Paul is writing to the saints who are in Philippi. He is in Rome under house arrest 24/7, and this is one of his four prison epistles, Colossians, Philippians, Ephesians, Philemon, and it was most likely written 10 years after the church at Philippi was founded, around 62 AD. Now, Paul has lovingly shared his desire. He has prayed for these Philippians, and he has revealed his thankfulness for God's past work in them and his confidence that God would complete that work, and that he realized his circumstances were that which God was using to bring about good, that although he was chained, the gospel was not. And we saw his attitude to live as Christ and to die as gain, understanding that whatever, through life or death, that Christ would be magnified. And then he shared and addressed the Philippians' attitudes in the end of chapter 1 and chapter 2. And they were to be united together. They were to stand firm against the opposition, knowing ultimately that it is a sign of their true walk with the Lord and destruction for those who oppose the gospel. And then we see that they are to be united in mindset. They're to have the mind of Christ, to humbly be thinking of others as more important than themselves. They're to be like Jesus, to think like he thought. And we have that perfect example of the Lord Jesus in Philippians 2, where he didn't consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant and being found in the likeness of men. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the Father's will, to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God raised him up to his rightful place that he was before he came and took on human flesh, that every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. And because of that, we see what we are to be doing. If we are believers in Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done, that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We are to work it out with reverence and awe for what God has done for us, the price that has been paid for our salvation. We are to allow what God is putting in through his word, let it come out in our actions. We are to work it out. And then within that, we saw that we are not to complain or argue as believers. We're to do all things without grumbling and disputing, because we are lights in this world who hold fast the word of truth. And then the Apostle Paul gave three examples, first of all himself, and then Timothy and Epaphroditus, of those who are allowing the truth of God to control their hearts and minds. Then in chapter 3, the Apostle Paul reminded them, and he considered it right to remind them, that they would face opposition, that there would be make-believers, there would be fakers, there would be the false circumcision. And Paul says, hey, we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God, glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. True believers, and certainly those who are sharing his word, those who are leading in the church, put no confidence in their own abilities, their own background, their own education, whatever it might be. They trust in Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul said, hey, if anyone to put confidence in the flesh, it was me before I got saved. He had all the religious credentials. But when he came to Jesus, or better said, Jesus came to him, he then saw all of that as refuse in light of the wonderful gain of knowing Christ Jesus, the one in whom he has suffered loss of all temporal things to gain Christ. And then we were encouraged to press forward, to press on to the upward call as believers, not looking back, forgetting what lies behind, pressing forward to that upward call. And we were commanded to imitate the Apostle Paul and those who walk like him, those who are thinking rightly, those who are applying the truth of God to their real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in the context of the circumstances that are around them. Then we came to chapter 4, where we are clearly commanded to stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in the Lord, the beloved, true believers loved by God and who love one another. Stand firm in the Lord. And then we saw that there were two ladies in the congregation who were godly but had a little spat going on, and we saw how to resolve conflict in the body of Christ. The way to resolve it is to be same-minded, to have the mind of Christ from the Word of God controlling our thoughts towards one another and towards the situation. And as we came from that point, we saw that there were some obstacles to faith that get in the way. One is division like that, but other obstacles such as worry and anxiety. And we saw from Scripture what God says about worry and anxiety, how we are to overcome those things. The reality is that we are to be anxious about nothing, but in everything through prayer, with supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses comprehension or all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. For believers, we are to pray about everything and worry about nothing. And yes, those things come upon us, those things in this life, but we are to cast our cares upon him, for he cares for us. And within that, we make those requests known. He protects our hearts and minds. And then we came to the portion we began to study last week, where we see what we are to be thinking about. So with that in mind, turn in your Bibles, if you're not already there, to Philippians chapter 4. verse 8. Let me read it for you. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. Isn't that what we need? We need peace, don't we? We need peace in the midst of the storm. We need His peace, not the world's peace, but His peace. And so here we see that we are commanded to continually, habitually think about the things of Christ, as we will see, as revealed in the Word of God. Now, last time we looked at just finally, brethren, whatever is true. We looked at the context of this verse. And we saw that this term finally in Greek actually means as to the rest. I've got some more to say. As to the rest. And he is talking to brethren. These are brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, we are separated from God by nature, by our sin nature. But when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are placed into the body of Christ. We become children of God, adopted children of God. And we thus become brothers and sisters in Christ of one another. He is writing to believers. They are brethren. And if you might remember, as I just read this passage, the structure of this passage, he says, whatever is, and he says that 6 times. And then he says, if there's anything excellent, anything worthy of praise, let your mind, end of verse 8, dwell on these things. That's the first command. And then the second command is in the middle of verse 9. Practice these things. So we have these two commands. Let your mind dwell on these things and practice these things. So we have 6 things or 6 categories that God says we are to think about and then have our mind dwell on those things. You see, the reality is the Christian life is played out in a sense, I don't know if I like that terminology, but you understand what I mean, first and foremost in the mind. The scripture says in Proverbs, as a man thinks, so he is. The way you think is who you are. Turn to Mark chapter 7, verse 20 through 23. Actually, I'm going to go back a little bit to verse 18. Now, he is speaking to the unbelieving Pharisees and the unbelieving leaders and the people, and they don't hear what he's saying. And then he's going to explain also to his disciples. So Jesus is speaking here. Chapter 7, verse 18 of Mark. And he said to them, are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach and is eliminated? Thus he declared all foods clean. You see, the Pharisees were getting all upset at him because he wasn't doing their ritual to wash his hands before he ate the food or whatever. And he's explaining to them and also to his disciples, don't you understand? It's not what goes in you that defiles you. It's actually what comes out of you that defiles you. Notice what he says. And he was saying that which proceeds out of the mouth is that which defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these things proceed from within and defile a man. It starts in our thinking. That's where our sin is manifest, in our desires. And then when desire has conceived, it brings forth sin, and then sin, death. And each one of us knows that our sin begins with thinking, right? Sometimes really quickly, maybe if it's anger, it comes on for a second, and then we're angry, right? But it begins in our minds. And, you know, we saw that back in chapter 3, verse 19, that those who set their mind on earthly things are those who haven't come to Christ. They may have pretended to, but they are actually enemies of the cross of Christ. They set their mind on those things below. But we as believers are to set our minds on the things above. You see, as we look at this group of things that we are to think about, it all has to do with the Lord and what He has done, His will and His works, all those things. And we apply those things to the realities that we see in our lives. We don't ignore what's happening, but we apply the things that are right and true and good and all those things we're going to look at today. So then we are to set our mind on the things above. Colossians 3, verse 1. If you have been raised with Christ, if you've been saved, some of you haven't been saved yet, and the Lord wants you to be saved. He wants you to have forgiveness of sins. And if you have been saved, you now have the ability to think differently. So he says, if you have been raised up with Christ, Colossians 3, 1, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not the things of earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. The non-believer completely thinks about the horizontal all day long from their own perspective. We are, as believers, not to think that way anymore. We are to set our mind on the realities that are above, the realities of Christ, and how they truly apply then to the things here below. We know in Romans chapter 12, the first application of the gospel after offering ourselves as living sacrifices, we are to not be conformed to this world, but transformed through the renewing of our minds. And it takes work. And so in our passage back in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, in the end of verse 8, let your mind dwell on these things. That's one word in Greek, actually. It's a verb. It means to think according to logical rules. It was an accounting term. Take into account, keep a mental record, reckon or consider, it might be translated. It speaks of thinking through something logically and carefully. And I mentioned one lexicon describes it this way. It means a deliberate and prolonged contemplation, as if one was weighing a mathematical problem. It's not simply a passing thought. We are to deliberately change our thinking to think about those things, as we will see, which are true, those things which are honorable, those things, and I'll go through the list, those things that we see in the Word of God concerning the God of the Word. So then, we are to let our mind dwell, and that's an imperative command. Believers, we need to take control of our thoughts. We need to not allow them to stray. And boy, when we go through difficulties, those thoughts come, the temptations come, and we need to take control of that, not in our own strength, but by allowing God's Word to be prominent in our hearts, to allow His truth to be prominent in our hearts. We are to continually, habitually be considering these things, as we're going to see, and we're going to talk about these six categories. And again, this term doesn't carry a sense of emotion in it. It's an accounting term. You know, it's all kinds of different people with different giftings. Some people may be accounting. Accounting doesn't have emotion in it. It's counting. It's doing those things. Well, maybe accountants might say it does, but this is the point here. We focus on these things, we dwell on them, and it's not based on how we feel about them. It's based upon the truth of what they are. You see, because often we dwell on things based on how we feel about them rather than the truth, okay? So we have a group of things listed, and what are these things that we are to pay attention to? This is an amazing verse because the Lord God, through the Apostle Paul, gives us some basic categories of things to think about. Categories of things to think about. And within that, it gives us categories of how to renew our mind, you see? Because I might be thinking about things that aren't honorable. And I start to think, wait a second, that's not honorable. I need to think about what is honorable. What is honorable about this? What is honorable, right? And so we're going to see it as we look through these very practical things. Now, we are to be renewing our mind, and this is not positive thinking, as some would say, just to take a circumstance and make it into a positive thing in my brain. That's not what this is saying. It's not saying, you know, that we have to use the power of positive thinking or whatever that might be, that false thought. What it is seeing things from a different perspective, seeing things from a godly perspective, and that's where we're going to have peace. That's where we're going to function rightly. That's where our behavior is going to manifest. The fruit, as we heard read earlier in James, the fruit of wisdom, right? That pure fruit, that good fruit that comes from thinking rightly, okay? When you got stinking thinking, it's going to come out in your actions. It's going to come out in your thoughts. It's going to come out in your words, right? But when our hearts are renewed, when we've confessed those times that we've failed, when we've confessed the wrong thinking, humbled ourselves before God, trusted in Him and started to believe the right thing, then there's going to be the fruit of righteousness in the midst of our lives. So this is an amazing verse. So what are these things? Let's take a look at them. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute. If there is any excellence, and the way the Greek is written here, and there is, it's an assumed true. If there is anything worthy of praise, and yes, there is, let your mind dwell on these things. And we're being commanded, continually dwell on these things. Now, it's not saying we are these, you know, people who don't think about the reality of this earth. It's that we apply God's truth to everything in the midst of our lives. And we renew our hearts and minds. We're commanded to do it. And notice there are six whatevers there. Whatever is, whatever is, whatever is. This literally means all that or everything that is this, then dwell on this. Everything that fits this category, this is what you should be doing. And then there are two summary statements that begin with those terms, as I mentioned, if. If this is, and it is, if this is, then let your heart and mind, or let your mind dwell on these things. Now you might remember from last week, we looked at the first one in depth, because I believe it's the foundation of all of what we should be thinking about. Look at verse 8 here. It says, whatever is true. Folks, we dwell on a lot of falsehood. I'll tell you that right now. And when you think about the future apart from what God says, when you worry about things and place all kinds of things in the future in your head, that's not true. That's false. That's false. Where we find truth is in God's word. And we need to remind ourselves that, wait a second, what I'm thinking is wrong, Lord. I'm sorry. What does your word say? What do you say about the circumstance? What do you say about what I should be thinking, how I should be responding? And it takes work. And you know, it's a battle. It's a fight. Because we walk by faith. We believe what we read. We walk by faith. We believe what we see in the word of God. But it is the good fight of faith. Whatever is true, we need to cast aside our preconceived notions, not just speaking of general truth. You know, the world will say, you know, all truth is God's truth. And that's not true. There is wisdom that is from the world that may appear to be true, but it is void of God's wisdom. Therefore, it is, as James would say, earthly, natural, and demonic. God's truth comes from, as we saw, God's word. And we saw that the very characteristic of the living God is truth. We see in Scripture that the Father is true. We see in the Word of God that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that the Lord Jesus spoke of the Spirit of God, calling Him the Spirit of truth, the one who will disclose the things of Christ to us. The things of the Father, the things of Christ, the things of God to us. Whatever is true, the things of God are true. He is true.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's program, what final thoughts do you have for us?
Well, Dave, what I'd like to say is it's so important that we set our mind on the things above, that we saturate our minds with the truth from the Word of God concerning Christ and what He has planned and what His will is for us. And brothers and sisters, if we don't renew our minds in the Word of God, we're going to be conformed to this world. We're going to think in ways that we don't want to think. So set your mind on the things above, not the things of earth.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.